That's why if you're there anyway, okay. I must just remember to tell Shimmy to be in touch with you. Anyway, Besudas Toivus, you know, refuahs be yeshuas, and this year should be a refuah, should be in the schus of refuah for Rabbi Arya ben Simcharina.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got a draft.
Thank you.
Good. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Last week we spoke about precious. We saw one of the advantages of a person when Chelek Gimel, remember that dealing with the betochen you have to have in relation to family, friends, the outgoing circle of relationships. We spoke about precious, how that bichlal not shaykh for us today, but there are aspects of precious we said that a person can take away with him. I was thinking even just in davening, when you're davening Shmona Esra, is an ideal time to work on precious. You know, I was just thinking about that the other day, just looking for areas where you can work on precious. And it just dawned on me, when you're davening, just like cut yourself off from the whole world, live alone, and then just it's you and Hashem talking to Hashem. Besides becoming the mitzvah of tefillah properly, but there's also another expression of this aspect of precious. I just want to see what he said here. Oh, so we spoke about the Prushim, this man who met these Prushim, and they wore the same clothes and whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And they left, and everybody dresses the same. So the poor man, well, what's the message here? One second. What chapter where are we? Oh, no, I'm trying to find out. Whoever that's from Ephraim Rosen. Ephraim, I'm trying to work it out myself. We're in chapter Dalit. We're in Perek Dalit. We're going to be in Perek Dalit for a long time. We have been there for a long time. Perek Dalit is the foundation of the Chovos of Lavavos Shara Betochen. We're on the Shin Samach Vav, going on Zion, going on to Shin Samach Ches in the classic Leif Tov version. So it brings now. The townspeople, this, you remember, should we go through it quickly again? Let's go through it again. Ramar echad me'apushim shenichnas le'medina achas lo'ayres es yoshvei avoydes elokim v'yimotzim lo'ivshim tzeva echad b'malbushom v'tachshiteihem. One of the Prushim went into this town. He was going to go around and give Musa and give droshes to these people, and he saw everyone's wearing the same clothes. We're all kivreim etzel pischa betayim, and he saw that their graves were by the entrance to the houses. It's a good place to bury your dead. The cemeteries are full, so you bury your family like by the front door. That's where they did. Velora bein isha, and he didn't see any woman in this whole place, in this whole village, whatever it was, town, village. There was no woman. And he asked them, so he asked the people, ma korepo. So they answered him, ma shani loyshim tzeva echad. There shouldn't be a difference between the rich and the poor. The rich man won't come and lord over everybody with, you know, he dresses so smart and fancy. He feels choshev, because what you wear does have an impact on your mood. The oni shouldn't come and feel embarrassed. That our condition over here should be the same as when we buried, because when we buried, everybody is wearing the same clothes. There's no distinction between rich and poor, and the rich man can lord over the poor man, etc. Everybody's in the same boat. So that's why we want the way we live here to mirror that. That was that. But didn't he answer them? Oh, okay, yeah, he's going to carry on. Okay. And they bring, the townspeople bring here now a precedent for what they were doing. They bring a raya for what they were doing. V'nema lechad mahamalochim, shohoyo misorev bein avodo, v'loya nika binayim. There was one of the kings. He got dressed up to look like one of the servants to see what was going on there. And he would hang around with the people in the town and whatever, not them not knowing that he was the king. He conducted himself very, very modestly and whatever. So he was able to mingle with the townspeople. That was their precedent, that there was this king. That you see, that's what he used to do. Every now and again, he used to dress up like one of the local people. He used to go hang around with them and whatever. So he shouldn't feel, you know, more choshuv than them. And then he carried on with the other behavior. Masha she samnu kivros meisenu etzel pischenu. When you see them every day, you come in, you go out to your house, you see it there, then you remember where we're going. You remember that that's the only way out of this place. And you'll take it to heart and you'll be ready to die. You'll be ready to... seeing graves reminds a person that, you know, we have limited time here. And then he'll do tshuva and he'll get ready. He'll do what he has to do. The Masha'i says, she'poshonu min anoshim v'abonim. And that which you see that we separated from our wives and children. We set aside a special town not far from here where they live. When we need something, whatever that's dealing with them, or I assume and they need something from us, whatever, we go then, we do what we have to do, and we come back. Why do we do this? Because we saw Bamashi, he kanes aleinu. Because we saw what an enormous distraction and loss and bother and exertion, whatever, being together with them causes us. To have the tranquility that we have when we're away from all of this enables us to focus on matters of Olam Haba and not to be immersed and dabbling too much with matters of Olam Hazeh. That's why you see it's not Shaykh for us. It's Bichal not Shaykh for us. Our void is not there. Our void is in making Ishtalas and being involved in the world and being Torah. These are exceptional people who have got to the level of Precious in the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what chapter? Precious, I think, is chapter 7 or 8. Most people today can't get past chapter 1 or 2 in the Mesilas Yesharim. I think the Goyen said that up to chapter 3 was Shaykh. After that, it wasn't Shaykh. I think Precious is number 7 or 8. So Zelo Derech Normali, but these people had got to that level, and on that level, then that's the way to do it. We don't really understand it, but we have to take principles. As I mentioned last week, I'm not going to go into it again. So a person can't put himself into this matzah, but if he finds himself in this matzah, person's away somewhere, like now, the Shloima, you're not exactly away. You have family, your brother there, your mother's there, you're with family, but still, you're not with your wife, you're not with your children, you're in your day-to-day existence. So not that you're tear-free, but a lot of the tears are day-to-day existence you have, you don't have, so you have to use the time, productively. It's not like you can go draying around Johannesburg and having a wonderful time, because I assume the restaurants are closed even. Okay. You can't even go to Saks there and have a nice steak, you know, because the Muslim
I can't even go to shul. I can't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
So I'm saying, so you're one of the pushing. You're one of the pushing now, and you can. So we don't put ourselves into this matzav, but if you find yourself in this matzav, and that's what he's been talking about, the betochen is that I'm where I need to be. This is where Hashem wants me to be, and to utilize the matzav correctly. This Porush, this guy that was out there, Porush from the world, was very, very impressed with what he saw. He blessed them and he gave them a lot of chizuk to carry on what they were doing. He came there to give Musa to the community. He landed up here. He learned more than what he taught. It was bringing coals to Newcastle, as they say. Very interesting, though. He points out here. That nowhere does the Chovei Salav ever say that this parish said, you know what, I'm going to come live here. I'm going to take on your hanhagas. It doesn't say that. He came there, he saw what he saw, encouraged them, he gave them brochas, and I assume he left. If he was so impressed, why didn't he stick around? Why didn't he stay there? So he brings out from somebody called the Leva Ari, I don't know who that is, that these people had a special situation which called for this way of life. But under normal circumstances, it's wrong to do such a thing. It's even against halacha to follow their practices. And in Shara Precious, which the Chovei Salav says, a whole Shara in Shara Precious, I've never learned it, so I can't tell you what's in there. He argues against extreme precious. He himself says it's not a good idea. And if you look at Rav Avigdor Miller's Pirush on Shara B'Tochen, he has a long arichas about how a person has to have a normal home, live with your family, have a normal job, function normally in the world. Today, the Ikka B'Tochen for us is today is to be involved in Ishtalas and involved in work in order to break it, in order to see that Ishtalas doesn't do anything. If you make no Ishtalas, you're not gonna know that Ishtalas doesn't do anything. But if you make Ishtalas and you see it doesn't do anything, that builds your B'Tochen. Also makes a person, builds a person. Your middos improve. You have to deal with difficulties, challenges, struggles, whatever. You have to get much closer to Hashem. Just not saying that certain people and certain times you should just be Isaac in Torah, but at times it's a positive thing, and they all talk about that. Anyway, so that's interesting. I didn't know that. In Shah Gimel in the Shara, but in the Shara Precious, in the Chavis of Office, he talks against Precious. So he's not yet coming to say that this is the derech for everybody. I think the question was asked last week. That's not our derech, Avraham Avinu, that's not what he gave us. In the Chinami, there are certain people that should do that. He's bringing it here to show you that when that comes about through no choice of your own, then there's advantages and you have to learn how to use those advantages. That's the vote. The vote's not that, oh, well, the Chavis of Office says that's it. Go wish your wife farewell, you know, go book into to your local Balchuva yeshiva and pop in once every 2 weeks to say hello to the wife and kids and let them take care of themselves. And it's not the derech to Gan Eden. It might be a derech to another place up there that's not so pleasant. Okay. To do it now and again sometimes is also a good thing. Elul, for example, a lot of people used to close their businesses and go away for Elul. I remember Rav Yaakov Feldheim, the Feldheim books or whatever. He used to close his business for the whole of Elul. He used to come here to Ofakim and sit in Ofakim and learn with Rav Hanke Milzatzah. Yeah, that's what he did in Elul. Elul, there's times for this, but it's not our derech. But that's, I think that's enough of that. So let's see. That's the betochen when you find yourself alone. Now let's have a look and see what's a betochen. What does it look like when you're not alone and you are with your family and friends and with people and whatever? We have to see how betochen manifests in that environment. So he says like this: Vim yeyeh abotech be'elokim bal isha v'kreivim v'ahuvim v'oivim. If you have this bal betochen. This person has betochen in Hashem. He has a wife. He's got family. He's got friends. He's got enemies. Yiftach be'elokim ba'atzlochos amehem. He should have betochen in Hashem that he'll be spared, that he won't have too many burdens from them, that he won't be overly burdened by these relationships that he has. Because his relationships can... This is the opposite of the advantage of being alone. The advantage of being alone is you don't have all these tears. When you're with them, there's a lot of tears, a lot of bothers that take you out of reality. So you have to daven, your person has to have betochen. You don't say daven, you have to have betochen that you won't have too many tears from them. V'yishtadl li pray ma shechayv lehem, v'la'aso yis chevtzeyem, v'liyoyis libo yisholim imoam. Oh, so there's a couple of things you have to do, and none of them are easy. These three things he mentions, yom ha'ot kashe. First of all, you have to make yishtadlis to fulfill all your obligations to them. You have to provide them with a home. You have to give them clothes. You have to give them food. A sort of Pinkus brings down the Gemara in Chulin that a person has to spend on his wife and children more than he can afford. I haven't looked in to see what the details there are, exactly what that means. What's the share of more? Does it mean you have to borrow? What does it mean you give more than you can afford? Or you have to get into debt? Whatever it means your wife and children, you have to give, at least have to give them what you can afford. But it seems even more than that. You have to look after them. You have to take care of them and give them what they need. You have to make your shtadlis. And you have to fulfill additional desires. Whatever they, each child, each person has his things. This one needs a bicycle. He doesn't have to have a bicycle. He won't die if he doesn't have a bicycle. You have to live normally with your kids. You can't say, look, I'm not buying you a bicycle because the money I buy a bicycle, I can donate to the hospital and they can buy another bed and you can save a life. So well, how can I buy you a bicycle when that bicycle could save someone's life? No, you have to buy my bicycle because that's your obligation. World needs to be balanced. We need, we should go and sell all the parks where the kids play and use that to buy hospitals. No, Rabbi Lashev once paskened that in Halacha. Somebody wanted to donate something to the hospital or whatever. I can't remember what it was. It was like a garden or it was a playground for kids. the manager of the hospital said, the administrator said, I got people dying here. I need dialysis machines. I need heart machines. I can't gonna take all this money, a couple hundred thousand dollars, and build a park. And then, that's crazy. We'll put a few pot plants in the entrance hall, and we'll use the money for something better. And I said, no. So yeah, we agreed to go to Velashev. That both the administrator of the hospital and the donor agreed to go to Velashev, and they do whatever he would say. Velashev told the administrator to take the money and build a park. The world has to be normal. You need everything. You need roads, you need parks, you need park benches, you need hospitals. You need a balanced life. You would just take all the money and put it into hospitals, so you'll save lives, but people would be depressed and miserable. Kids would have nowhere to play. You need a normal, balanced existence. So that's the cloud, but in the prat as well, person has to somehow juggle. Kids need sweets. You're going to tell kids, no, I'm not buying you sweets. You have to buy your kids sweets. You got to play. You know what I'm saying? You got to... Whatever you call sweet, but you have to live a normal existence. That's very choshev. And you have to be sincere. He says, liboy sholem. What's liboy sholem? You have to take care of their needs, their desires. You have to be there. Obviously, not out the door mugzam. We don't live for gashmis. We're not drowning in gashmis, but whatever they need, whatever's normal for them. Child gets to a certain age, his friends all got bicycles, give him a bicycle, you know. Yeah, but I could save a lot of money, whatever. Yeah, buy him a bicycle. You know what I'm saying? I'm just using that as an example. If it's a girl, whatever she needs, and the kids have needs, and you have to take care of them within the realms of proper normalcy. But you have to be genuine with them. You have to, those three things, very important. And of course, obviously, you should be careful not to cause them any harm, physically or emotionally, and you should bring about things that are good for them. You should try and work and find out what this one needs, what that one needs, even behind their back. If this one what he needs, quietly do it that way. You have to be involved in them, and you have to take care of them. This is a Baal Betochen, by the way. There's not somebody who's got no Betochen, and he says, no, Hashem's going to bring up my children. I'm going to take care of my thing. Hashem's going to take my children. I don't have to worry about it. No, you have to be involved. You have to, each kid, you have to look, what does he need? What does he need? Put time and effort into it. What compliments does he need? What's going to give him, make him feel good about himself? Be a neman bekol in your name, and he should be faithful. He should be somebody that his family and these people, the friends, the families, whatever, can depend on. Somebody that's dependable, reliable, maybe is a better word, loyal, faithful to his mission. And he also, not just enough, I don't know why he's bringing this here, because this we'll see later, is in the Hishtadlis, in the Betochen you have to have in matters dealing with Olam Haba. Yeah, he's talking about Olam Hazeh Zikr things. You have to take care of their needs, make sure they have what they want, emotionally, physically. But now he says something, you should also teach them the correct ways that will bring them benefits in Ruchnias Dika matters. In Torah and in worldly matters, both of them. So I'm not sure why he brings Torah, because that's somehow he seems to think that Torah means for, because these are matters pertaining to this world between him and other people. So I don't know how Torah sneaked in here. Avodah Saboira, everything he's doing now is because of Avodah Saboira. Kamosha Kosova, after Larecha Kamoicho. Vama lo sisno. You shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. I mean, what that means is you should do it for altruistic reasons. You should do it because that's what Hashem wants you to do. Not because you want to get anything back. You hope, hey, forgive Yankel a nice bicycle, then he'll be nice to me. He'll let me sleep Shabbos afternoon. You know, if that's why I buy him a dark wood. No. You have to do that because that's after Ramecho. And not to make him feel indebted to you, you know, so that you can throw that in his face one day and you'll tell him, oh, you know how much I do for you, and that's how you behave towards me. Look what I do for you, and that's how you pay me. Da, 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 da. No, not because of any of that. See how much chinuch you can learn from Sharabatochen. And not because you want his honor and his thank you very much. You're such a good father. I really appreciate it. And not in order to that you can exercise authority over them. Now that I gave you that, you better listen to me. The reason why Baal Betochen takes care of his wife and his children and he gives them what they need is because that's the Rotzen Aboira. And in order to keep his bris, the covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the way that he deals with all these people. So there's a lot of stuff here that we have to discuss, a lot of commentary, a lot of discussion. Yeah. Just the one thing that I'll point out, we spoke about this in the morning show. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but this will help you in a bigger voida that you have when it comes to dealing with everybody else and in your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think Eli was there when we spoke about this. I don't know if you were there, Frank. There's a musag of recognizing what Hashem wants to give us. Hashem wants to give us everything. When you ask for Hashem for something, He never wants to say no. Never, ever wants to say no. He always wants to give you what you want. So sometimes He can't, because He's got His cheshbonus why He can't give you this now. The same with kids. If your kid comes to you and he wants his 12th chocolate chip cookie at 10:45 at night, and he says, Abba, please can I have another cookie? Do you want to give it to him or not? So everybody says, no, it's not good for you. So the vote is no. The vote is, I want to give it to him. Why shouldn't I want to give it to him? Why shouldn't he want it? Because you don't understand why he wants it. I want to give it to you. Aval ani lo yochol, because it's not good for you. Another chocolate chip cookie is not. I mean, well, how you got to 12? I don't know. But because I think maybe 3 is already not good for him. But whatever, he managed to get you up to a point where you want to say yes. If you find yourself wanting to say no, you must check out what that's about. You should want to say yes to everything, because that's what Hashem does. Hashem wants to say yes all the time. And then you say no. It doesn't mean if you always say yes, well, then you're not a parent. Then you're a murderer. That's not called parenting either. Always saying no is also not good parenting. You have to want to say yes. So I think that gets strengthened here. When you recognize that your chiyuv is to give them everything. Give them everything, everything, everything. It has to be tempered with the fact that you've got to give them what's good for them. Therefore, you have to go, like he said, you have to understand, you have to look, you have to know each one, what's good for them, what they need, what's not good for them, spiritually, emotionally, make sure that you're not giving them anything that's harming them. Each kid's like running a business. Each person is not the kids. It's a spouse, it's a, whatever it is, all these people, family, friends, relatives, neighbors, whoever these people are that you're responsible for. If you recognize you're doing this because of after you're doing this because Hashem told you to do it, it's much easier to get to want to do it. Because it's not so easy to want to do it. You know, you're just getting into bed and your child says, Abba, can you just take me to the, I'm going to get a bus there by the Kikar to the Kish Esser. Can you just take me to the bus stop? You just got into bed. Chances are you're going to say no. Okay? Chances are you're going to say no, because now's not the time to ask me. You should have told me before. You know, you want to go out and I'm getting into bed. I don't know if I, whatever, you'll make a cheshbon. But you should for sure want to take it. Why wouldn't you want to take it? If you could and it was good for her, why wouldn't you take it? You may not be able to. You may be tied up with something else. But I would love to do this. I just right now I can't. Why do you want to do it? Because first of all, that's what Hashem wants. But second of all, because I have no problem understanding that I have a chiyuv to do everything that I can that's good for them. So if I want to do it, now I have to say no for whatever reason. So Hashem also says no for whatever reason. That's an interesting insight that just helps build that thing, because we spoke about that the other day in the shir. We have a few more minutes. I just want to bring down, he brings in the notes here in this version, the Jaffa family edition. He says like this, so the Chovas HaLevav, he makes a big mention of this, is that a husband and a father who's supplying his family needs, he shouldn't do it just because he has to be Yotzi Zayin in a minimal fashion. He should provide them generously, graciously, and consistently. And then he's going to see, we'll see a little bit later, that one should do all this. We've seen this already. One should do this all for the purpose of serving Hashem. Why are you doing all this? Why are you helping and giving them and being so nice and sweet and you're such a good Abba? Because that's what Hashem wants. You're doing a mitzvah. Serving Hashem. So, yeah, he's bringing to light the enormous contrast between the way of a man with a family responsibility serves Hashem and the way an individual without such responsibility serves him. Because we learned above that a person has no family, he should appreciate the freedom that provides him with, right? In physical, spiritual matters. So one might think that a person with a family should support him in the most minimal way. Since not having a family is enormous freedom, because you don't have all the bother and the dealings with them and the panos and having to take time out and help them with their shutness projects and all this stuff that you have to help them with and whatever. You can get on with, you know, your avoidus Hashem. So you might think when you do have children or whatever, you should try and minimize your time and effort with them because you see it's better not to. He says, no, that's a big mistake. The Chovas HaLevavos tells us that's not true. Since Hashem put him in the situation of providing for a family, he has a duty to carry out that responsibility in the best way possible. That means if you're not given a family, Chalila, you don't have one, you should thank Hashem that now you have time to do other things. Hashem has another mission for you in this world. Your job description is different. The next door neighbor has a wife and children, so he looks at the next door neighbor there. The Chovas HaLevavos says, that's the best thing. Wow. He doesn't have a wife and children. He's freed up. He can sit and learn all day. He doesn't have the daigas. He doesn't have whatever. So he should think, you know what, I have a wife and kids, but then I have to, you know, like the Mercedes Hashem says, the ishtadlis you make has to be minimal. You make the minimal ishtadlis and you just kind of, you know, they feed them a bit of bread and onions and whatever, and, you know, don't bug me too much because I have to get back to being a parush. No, shalicha, he tells you that's not true. It's not true. He has to carry out his responsibility in the best possible way. This means he must be a generous provider, happy and reliable, even though it takes away his time and energy that he'd rather be doing on other things. He'd rather be using that. And not too many, he'd rather be using it to play Pac-Man or whatever. People still know what that is. I don't know how old you are. Fry, I'm smiling there. Wow, I wish I could have the hours I spent trying to get to the fifth level and in my university days. Anyway, so no, that's not what he wants it for. He wants this freedom to be able to be involved in Ruchnistic commanders. He wants to be in the best midrash. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, no. For sure you should go to the Beis Midrash when you've got nothing else to do. And for sure you have to work out how much and where. We're not talking about Western standards today, how much you have to spoil and coddle your children and dedicate your entire life to them. No, but what you're giving them, you have to take care of them. It's got to be done happily, responsibly, understanding that you have a mission you have to do, and then go off and do what you have to do in your Ruchnias. So obviously, he's not saying take up your whole day. You see, that's not the Mahalach. Mahalach is you have to go sit and learn, and you have to know the whole Torah and do whatever you have to do. But it frees a person up. It frees a person up. Any spiritual development and growth will be dependent on doing the right thing. That's what Hashem needs from you right now. This child needs you right now. That's what you have to give them. That's what you asked me this morning, Ellie. So it's a very difficult shikul. You know, how much time do you give them at the expense of your own learning? You know, how do you maintain your own mental well-being in order to be able to give if you're not learning? Okay, that's a practical shal. You have to sit and work out practically how you deal with it. But the idea, yeah, is posh. The idea is posh. Especially if it's a matter of illness, somebody's not well, somebody needs you, whatever. And that's not even a question. Not even a half a question.
So what's the Chovas HaLevavos saying when he's saying to you the opposite of this, it sounds like?
The opposite of what?
What you just said, it sounds like he's saying you should give them the minimum so you can go and do your precious.
No, the opposite.
The opposite. I didn't say that.
Okay, whoa, slowly.
I don't have a safe in front of me. So
if a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give a person a wife and children, whatever, and he has no responsibilities in that area, so he should accept that with Betochen, and he should accept the freedom that it gives him to be Oved Hashem. He should be very happy that he has a matzah. But if a Kodesh Baruch Hu does give him children, he shouldn't think, well, since being a parush is such a good thing, but I have a wife and children, so what can I do? So I'll minimize my time and effort for them, and I'll be a parush the rest of the time. No. You have to take care of them properly. You have to give them all the time and all the energy and all the needs and take care of them happily, reliably, and be a good parent. Whatever that means in, obviously, it doesn't mean that you mevatel yourself and you become a nobody and you become the babysitter 24 hours a day and you never get to the best midrash. That's not the way we conduct ourselves. You see that. I heard from a big machanach. I'll just give you one example where this might apply. I heard from one of the big machanachim of this generation, Mashamas Paro Michal Yuda and Brother Gera Rebbe, and he put enormous energy and time into chinuch. I'm not saying you agree with him or not agree with him. There may be people just as big as him that may argue. But he said one of the biggest problems we have in chinuch today is night koilulim. Is that the fathers aren't home enough for the kids. The father comes home from afternoon, say at 7 o'clock, half past seven, whatever. Yeah, he has a quick bath, you know, tells a bedtime story, whatever. And 9 o'clock, he has to be back at Mount Koilul. Then he comes at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the kids are sleeping. Now, there may be yichidim, so there's a matim, and they can deal with that. I'm not saying not. Maybe not every night. Maybe, but he said night koilulim, one of the biggest problem. If you, what's wrong with learning at home? Rav Nosson Svi used to learn in the yeshiva in the morning. Afternoon, Sadie learned at home. His children used to watch him learning. And there were kids were playing. And it was a quiet librarian type of environment in his house. The kids reported there was noise and balagan, and the kids were doing whatever they're doing, but they saw father sitting and learning in the afternoon. Mabayav was there. I'm saying that's a little bit of what he's talking about. Your children seeing you learning, that's also the biggest chesed you can do for them. So let them see you learning. My mashgiach once told me that even if you're too tired, you come up at night, you're too tired to learn. So open up a Gemara. The children will think you're learning. At least they should see you with a Gemara in front of you. Even if you're not going to learn, at least pretend for a little bit. They should see there's a father with a Gemara in front of you. Don't open the New York Times or whatever, you know. So that's all part of this. That's all included in what the Chovas HaLevavos is saying. But for sure, the panasa and making sure they've got clean clothes and making sure they have a reasonably decent place to live. Once again, it's all dependent on, doesn't mean you have to buy the biggest house and get into debt and then have to work 18 hours a day to provide them what they need so that you can't function properly. Obviously not. Talking about the seichel. Talking about within what's the normal range of being normal in this world. You know? Whatever normal today means. Okay. Fine. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll speak about the kavanas a person has to do when he's doing this. And then we'll deal with friends. Yeah, okay, fine. So I think that's a good place to stop.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yonatan. He just puts up a picture of his wife, the little black thing, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
Yonatan.
Sorry, I was just leaving my daughter's room. How's it going?
No, that's cool. I just, you know that Shlomo's in South Africa.